Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you give us this opportunity to come together to worship you this morning. We are here for that purpose, to bring you praise and glory and honor. Father, as we come, we also come with an openness and eagerness to hear your voice speaking to us through your word. Do that now in such a way that our lives would be shaped by you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Different people have all kinds of different responses when they hear the word authority. Yeah, I just saw it right now in your reactions. When thinking of authority, certain individuals may come to mind, those who have been authority figures in their lives. A parent or grandparent, a teacher in school, a drill sergeant in boot camp, a police officer who stopped them for speeding, or a boss at work. Any number of examples. Depending on our experiences with such people, our feelings and attitudes toward authority figures could be positive or negative, or anywhere in between. As a result, our responses may vary, depending on both them and us. Sometimes we are just rebellious, taking the common question authority idea even further to the point of rejecting or reacting against authority. Sometimes those people violate our trust through hypocritical or abusive behavior, which leads to anger and disillusionment. But with the good ones, whose legitimate authority is matched by consistent character, we come to respect and appreciate them, listening to them differently as a result. I've mentioned before that I was involved with Boy Scouts as a kid. I remember two different examples of authority figures from that one context. Our scoutmaster, Mr. Wallace, was the model of consistency in both his character and his care for us as scouts. I always respected him and listened to him carefully, whether he was teaching us how to tie knots or talking more generally about how not to get our lives all tied up in knots. 50 years later, I still remember Mr. Wallace with appreciation and respect. And then there was the campsite leader at the Belzer Boy Scout camp I went to in the summer. He seemed, well, lazy and distant, spending most of the time hanging out in his separate platform tent, except when he came out at night to yell at us for making too much noise, tipping over the fire barrel of water and making us refill it one cup at a time. That was his form of punishment of us. I don't even remember his name or what he looks like. Two different authority figures with two very different approaches, leading to two very different responses. Our responses to authority do vary. Well, in today's second lesson, we hear about how people responded to Jesus as one with authority. It was still early in the public ministry of Jesus. Having arrived in the city of Capernaum on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, it was new territory. Still just coming to know him, people could not help recognize the authenticity of his words and his deeds and his character. The more they saw Jesus revealed, the more they recognized his genuine authority grounded in his true identity. This passage shows us several features of the authentic authority of Jesus, the Son of God. We're on page 867 in the Pew Bibles if you want to follow along. First, First, we learn that the authority of Jesus is a unique authority. We heard it read, they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What stood out to the people was not just a stylistic difference, but a qualitative difference. It was customary in that culture that visiting teachers were invited to teach from the scriptures in the local synagogue. It wasn't such an odd thing that this new teacher in town was given the opportunity Jesus was given to teach. What was different was the character of his teaching, which led people to be astonished. It's not that they were just impressed by his speaking ability or thought he told good jokes and interesting stories. They were overwhelmed. They were shocked by the different quality of his teaching. The reason people were so astonished is that Jesus taught with a unique authority. The scribes, they were the professionals of that time, trained in the interpretation and application of the scriptures. But their typical approach was to quote from earlier teachers and famous rabbis to bolster their stated position. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, is it? I mean, you hear me quote other people from time to time. It shows that others have had the same kind of thought, that I'm not just making things up as I go along. Jesus, however, did not have to rely on others to strengthen his teaching. He had a unique authority given to him directly from the Father. A few weeks ago at Jesus' baptism, we heard the Father declare, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." In a couple of weeks ahead, at the scene of Jesus' transfiguration on the mountain, we'll hear similar words from the Father, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." As the Son of God, because his teaching was not derivative, he was not dependent on what others had said. He spoke with a first-hand authority unique to his identity as the Son of God. What people were picking up on with Jesus' teaching was the authority of God incarnate revealing his truth in person, which is what the Apostle John was getting at the beginning of his gospel, describing Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Going on to add, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I've recently encountered others discussing it, and I felt it myself more than once. I have to be honest, I grow weary of those who portray Jesus as just one among a number of other great moral teachers, they'll say. That is not how he is presented to us in the scriptures. He is not just another rabbi offering opinions, the value of which can be debated as comparable to those of others. He is the Son of God, having dwelt among us to reveal God's truth to us in person. In the process, he brings us divine guidance, leadership, and instruction to light the paths of our lives. His unique authority draws us to both listen and submit our lives to him and his teaching. And the heart of that teaching is the truth about himself coming to be our Savior. Because of who he is, because of his unique identity, we listen to him differently. His unique authority as the Son of God, who is our Savior, prompts an appropriate response from us of gratitude and openness and submissiveness. Well, second, from this lesson, we also learn that the authority of Jesus is a real authority. Picking up at verse 23, we read, "Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. In a rather startling and tangible way, those present in the synagogue that day saw power demonstrated. Even while others were still trying to figure out this new teacher, the evil spirit recognized Jesus' true identity as the Holy One of God. No ambiguity there. It's no surprise that the evil spirit wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Everything had been going along just as he liked it before Jesus showed up. Jesus' presence was offensive and threatening. This whole thing raises a bunch of other questions, I'll save for another time. Note how, even though antagonistic, the evil spirit was still subject to the power of Jesus. Up to that point, the evil spirit seems to have had its way in the man's life and even in the regular patterns of the synagogue. But now, it was afraid Jesus may bring an end to all of that. And sure enough, with clarity and expediency and authority, Jesus rebuked and cast out the evil spirit. The evil spirit was cast out, but the man was preserved. Only the power of God could do that. With Jesus, the authority he exercises in our lives carries with it the effective power of God. Imposters will eventually have their impotence become apparent. Their authority is not real, therefore its efficacy is limited. Because Jesus is the Son of God, he demonstrates the power of God in all his work. In the process, he brings us wholeness, forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration. We'll hear more about this next week, so let me go on to my last point for this morning. Third, we learn here that the authority of Jesus is an amazing authority. Verse 27, they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately, the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. The awe they felt toward Jesus at this point was beyond their previous amazement at his teaching. The word for their amazement is actually a different word used here than before. While similar in meaning, it carries an added dimension of fear. His teaching was one thing, but this is a whole different level. They were blown away by the power demonstrated before their eyes, which could only be understood as the power of God. Their response was both internal and external, both private and public. What they witnessed prompted a personal acknowledgement of Jesus' divine authority. It also prompted a public acknowledgement about him, sharing what they had seen and heard from Jesus with others. The news about him spread because these people spread it. And that was long before the days of Twitter and Facebook and things like that. How did it happen? Because they walked around and they told people. As we come to see Jesus, the Son of God, more clearly, we will recognize his unique authority and we will come to experience the power of his real authority in our lives. And we will be awed. Our response of legitimate amazement will also have both internal and external aspects, both personal and public dimensions. The internal, personal response will be to keep coming back to him in repentance because we have known the depth of his forgiveness, the wisdom of his ways, and the transformation of our own lives that continues according to his power at work in us. The external, public response will be to reach out to others with the good news we have come to know. that life in Christ is available to everyone, that He alone is the one who saves us from sin and death, but save us He does. Because we have been awed by the value and efficacy of His authority in our own lives, we will want to spread the word about Him so others can see it for their lives too. I really didn't plan this. Sometimes people wonder, how did you arrange that to work out the timing of it? I really couldn't do this. This past Friday morning, the fire marshal showed up unannounced. I had nothing to say about that. He just showed up. Being my day off, I was still in my PJs, sitting in the living room, when I saw a big red fire truck pulling into the church driveway. That caught my attention, wondering if something was going on I should know about. Thankfully, there was no fire. There were two guys here to do a fire safety inspection. Well, I threw on some clothes, came over, and walked around the building with them. And most everything was just fine, with three little exceptions. One has already been addressed. A second will be taken care of tomorrow. And the third will be a little more involved, but we'll see to it. Not a big deal. Because they were designated officials, they had the authority to both inspect the building and to require us to fix problems related to fire safety. The church could actually be fined if we don't do what they tell us to do. But more importantly, they are telling us to do these things for our own safety and welfare. I responded positively to them, not just because I knew they could fine us if we don't, but because I recognize they know fire safety, and they also serve as firefighters in our community, protecting us up front and putting their lives on the line to save us from disaster. Made me listen a little differently. Well, in an infinitely greater way, this Sunday morning, we are reminded of Jesus as one with authority. Authority based in who He is, the Son of God, who has come to be our Savior. And because He is unique, His is an authority that is unique. Because He is real, His is an authority that is real. Because He is amazing, His is an authority that is amazing. How we respond to His authority is up to us, at least for now. The day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that day the redeemed will rejoice. The lost will weep. See, it really does matter how we respond. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in Your goodness and grace and love for us, You have made Yourself known to us. You came in person in Your Son, Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, not only to teach us, but to save us. Because of who He is, all of that is very real for our lives. Open our minds, our ears, our eyes, even our hearts to be receptive to who He is and His authority in our lives. And as we see the power demonstrated, let that spur us on to share it with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.